Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Memcast. I'm Suhail Abdul Wahab, your host today. Joining with me is Dr. Kam Atwal, who is a consultant in general internal medicine at University Hospitals of Leicester. Welcome to Memcast.
Hello.
So today we are going to discuss about hypertension emergency. So we know that worldwide prevalence of hypertension is about 31%, almost one third of the population, adult population, is affected. And out of these 31% or 1.3 billion people, 1 or 2% will suffer a hypertensive crisis in their lifetime. And we also know that men are more likely than women to suffer a hypertensive emergency, more common in old people and black people. So can you define what is a hypertensive emergency?
So first of all, I think it's really useful to highlight the epidemiology of hypertensive emergency. So like you've mentioned, that the majority of the patients who have hypertension do not get hypertensive emergency. And in a previous podcast, we spoke about hypertensive urgency. The majority of patients you will see with extremely high blood pressure, so we're talking blood pressure above 180 over 120, will be hypertensive urgency. So just to reassure you all out there that the risk of a patient you seeing has hypertensive emergency in front of you is very, very low. But you certainly have to think about this diagnosis when you see patients with high blood pressure. So what is hypertensive emergency? So you can't purely just look at the blood pressure reading to diagnose hypertensive emergency. Hypertensive emergencies, by definition, is an acute rise in blood pressure leading to end organ damage. Typically, hypertensive emergencies tend to have a high blood pressure, but not as high as people who have hypertensive urgencies, who, if you remember previously, they tend to have more chronic rise in blood pressure, leading to patients tolerating much higher blood pressures without any issues. Now, what is end organ damage and why does it happen? So if you imagine in the simple plumbing terms, if you've got a higher pressure in a piping system, it is always the smaller pipes that tend to burst or tend to suffer first. What are the smallest pipes in the cardiovascular system? So the smallest pipes in the cardiovascular systems are in the three main organs, your brain, your heart, as in the coronary arteries, and in your kidneys. So the symptoms, the signs, and the tests will be focused on those main three systems. So in the brain, we would think about ruling out encephalopathy, so increased history of confusion, decreased GCS, or stroke-like symptoms, so think fast. You'd also have signs of increased intracranial pressure. So think about headache, nausea and vomiting, and papilledema on ophthalmoscopy. Of course, while you're doing fundoscopy, also look for flame hemorrhages and other signs of retinopathy. Moving down towards the heart, in the history, look for any anginal or ischemic sounding chest pain symptoms. ECG will tend to show ischemic changes, and you would also expect a troponin rise in patients who might be presenting with type 2 MI. Now, sticking with the chest pain, the other thing to watch out for is hypertension might be a presenting feature with chest pain of aortic dissection. So remember to look for any tearing chest pain radiating to the back, and also make sure you check blood pressure in both arms, looking for more than a 20 millimeter mercury deficit. If you do have a deficit in both arms, you treat them according to the higher blood pressure reading. Moving down towards the kidneys, urinalysis is useful, ruling out hematoproteinuria, and urea and electrolytes blood tests, which will show an acute rise in creatinine. So if you have any evidence of end organ damage looking at those three organs, then you would diagnose hypertensive emergency. Something to add is when you're examining the chest, also look for pulmonary edema. That can also be a sign of end organ damage.
Thank you for that explanation. So now we'll think of a gentleman, 60-year-old man with a history of untreated hypertension, present to the emergency department with chest pain and shortness of breath. His blood pressure is 230 by 120. and his ECG shows new ST depression in the lateral leads. How would you approach this patient?
So as you've mentioned, he's got severe hypertension. So his blood pressure is above 220 over 120. And his ECG shows what sounds like ischemic changes. He's also presented with what sounds like potentially ischemic sounding chest pain. So the first approach is this chest pain indicative of dissection? So is this chest pain radiating to the back? Has he got blood pressure deficit in his arms? And has he got pulmonary edema? So after taking history, and we've already got an ECG, I would go for a chest x-ray next. Again, looking for a dilated aorta, plus or minus pulmonary edema. Now, depending on what symptoms he has and what signs he have, we'll treat them accordingly. But the main aim is, in this case, as the blood pressures come up acutely, we want to acutely decrease the blood pressure to prevent any further end organ damage.
So in this gentleman coming with hypertensive emergency with evidence of cardiac ischemia, what will be the goal of treatment in the acute setting?
So in the acute setting, you want to bring the blood pressure down as quickly as possible. Now, we haven't differentiated in this case whether he has aortic dissection or ischemic cardiac sounding chest pain. In the cases of dissection, you want to bring the blood pressure down very rapidly. But even in patients with ischemic chest pain, you'd want to bring the blood pressure down by around 25% of his systolic within minutes to 1 hour. If the patient remains stable, then further reduce the blood pressure to 160 systolic over 100 to 110 diastolic within the next 2 to 6 hours. Then you can aim for normal blood pressure within 24 to 48 hours. These patients should not be managed in a normal ward or outpatient or an SDEC or a GP setting. These patients need to be managed in a recess or a high dependency or intensive care unit.
So having managed the acute episode, what sort of a long-term management plan we should put in place to prevent such crisis happening again?
So long-term management all depends on what was the underlying cause. So if you've got someone who's known hypertensive, number one cause of uncontrolled hypertension is non-adherence or non-compliance. So that's always to look into in terms of the medication history. In certain patient populations, you may want to think about investigating for secondary causes of hypertension. These patients would include patients presenting under the age of 40, patients who've been normotensive for long periods of time before having a sudden increase in hypertension, and patients with certain syndromes. For example, flash pulmonary edema tend to occur in patients with renal artery stenosis. So after thinking about secondary causes of hypertension, then we can go down the NICE guidelines in terms of the ABCD approach of treating hypertension in the medium to long term. So in patients who present with hypertensive emergency with evidence of left ventricular failure or pulmonary edema, I would suggest treating that specifically with GTN plus or minus furosemide to help offload the patient. And I would avoid at that point giving something like labetalol, because as you remember, in acute heart failure, you don't want to be giving someone high dose of beta blocker.
So now we discussed about hypertensive emergency in the setting of cardiac ischemia. So one of the other presentation with hypertensive emergency cerebrovascular hemorrhage or stroke. So how it would differ in terms of acute management?
So specifically for an acute ischemic stroke, first of all, you need to have this patient on very close observation. In terms of pharmacological treatment, first line treatment would be to give labetalol, and you can also consider something like nicardipine. If the intracranial pressure appears normal, then you can consider nitroprusside. Some trusts also like to give GTN infusions to help control blood pressure. If you contrast that with someone who has hypertensive encephalopathy or intracranial hemorrhage, if you've got evidence of renal disease or increased intracranial pressure, you just focus on labetalol or nicanidipine, whereas with someone with normal intracranial pressure, you can consider nitroprusside or nicardipine. One thing to remember is you don't want to bring the blood pressure down too quickly because of the risk of hypoperfusing the brain, especially if they've presented with an ischemic stroke. Now, on discharge, it is worth thinking about long-term management, and part of that is driving. So a lot of people may not know that the DVLA has guidance on patients who have presented with hypertensive emergencies. So for group one, which is for car and motorcycle, a patient must not drive if they've been diagnosed with so-called malignant hypertension, which they have defined as elevated blood pressure greater or equal to 180 over 110 associated with evidence of progressive organ damage. So they said you cannot drive until this has been effectively treated. So for group two, this is focused on bus, HGV and lorry drivers. They must not drive and must notify the DVLA if the resting blood pressure is consistently 180 or higher systolic and or 100 millimeter of mercury or more diastolic, or if they've been diagnosed with malignant hypertension, which is defined previously. They can be relicensed after blood pressure is controlled, providing there are no side effects that would affect their safe driving.
Thank you for that explanation. And also, I think there are different specific situations where you might come across patients with hypertensive emergencies, such as a renal crisis. So I think these specific discussions are beyond the scope of our today's discussion. So basically, we discussed about hypertensive crisis in the setting of cardiac ischemia and cerebral ischemia or hemorrhage, and in terms of cardiac causes, aortic dissection also. Okay, thank you very much for joining with us today, Dr. Athwal, and we hope to see you in another episode.
I hope you guys found this episode useful. Don't forget to check out our Instagram page, mem.cast, for question of the week. See you next time.
And don't forget to follow us on our Instagram page. Follow our Instagram page and answer the questions before this episode comes out. Thank you.
Shall I also